This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Barcher, and coming up, the fire danger is not over for Malibu. But first, a woman accused of hiring a hitman to murder her ex-husband outside of his Woodland Hills clinic back in August. Her arraignment is set for tomorrow. Karen Adams has more from downtown L.A.
The L.A. County D.A. says Ahang Meshojayi hired Evan Hardman to shoot her husband, Dr. Hamid Meshojayi, to death for financial gain.
On August 23rd, Mr. Hardman, having been hired by Ahang Meshojayi, goes ahead to a parking lot in Woodland Hills, the parking lot at which Dr. Hamid Meshojayi had his medical practice. He was driven, as the accusations have alleged, by Ashley Sweeting, someone else who has been charged and at this point also arraigned and has pled not guilty.
DA Nathan Hockman says another person accused, Sarala Jawed, helped get Hardman to Texas, where he was eventually arrested. Hockman says Jawed and Hardman also beat the doctor with the baseball bat back in May. But Hockman is not saying how the murder-for-hire plot came together.
As far as the actual facts and the techniques used, that will be coming out in due course.
The doctor and his ex-wife have for years been embroiled in civil disputes. However, she denies killing him, saying she cared for him and even held a tearful memorial for him after his death. In downtown L.A., I'm Karen Adams, KNX News 97.1 FM.
L.A. criminal defense attorney and legal analyst Lou Shapiro tells us the case provides a very early opportunity for the new D.A. to show he's taken a different approach than his predecessor.
The special circumstances allegation, lying in wait, or committing a murder for financial gain indicates that the DA, the new DA in this case, very well may be seeking the death penalty on these defendants. Something we haven't seen, obviously, in 4 years.
Nathan Hockman, elected with a big majority over George Gascon, who critics said was not tough enough on crime. Five people were hurt after a school bus and an SUV collided in the city of Orange around 3 o'clock this afternoon. All five, two kids on the school bus, the bus driver and two people in the SUV were taken to a hospital in serious but stable condition. This happened on Santiago Canyon Road near Red Rock Canyon Road. Cause is under investigation. Red flag fire warnings tomorrow will lead to Topanga Canyon Boulevard being fully closed from 3 p.m. through 6 p.m. Wednesday between Mulholland Drive and PCH. Caltrans and the Sheriff's Department said only residents and local business traffic will be allowed into the canyon. Malibu Mayor Doug Stewart says SoCal Edison says it may cut power again tomorrow because of the weather.
The Santa Ana winds out of the northeast, a low humidity, gusting winds. So we've got to be on a watch and notice that we may have another potential event here. We've also been notified by Edison that there's potential for public safety power shutoffs. I hope nothing goes wrong. The fire department is working diligently. They've got, I think, about 1,100 people still assigned to the area.
The fire right now, it doesn't look menacing. It doesn't look threatening. Are they worried that there could still be embers pushed by the wind, or are they worried about another fire starting?
Both. I know in the briefing that I attended yesterday, they were still talking about hot spots and smokes in the burn area, and that's exactly what they're concerned about. There could be lingering hot spots that with the high wind might turn into flying embers or reignite. And some of them are just totally inaccessible areas. I mean, there's hillsides that are 100% steep that they were talking about. And the only way to attack those is with water drops. And I know yesterday there was at least one helicopter that was working all day dropping water back in the fire areas to try and get these hot spots off.
Franklin Fire now 54% contained. Three Malibu schools that were closed last week because of the fire reopened today. The days of trusting QR codes are over, Emily Valdez explains.
Recently, scammers put fake QR codes on parking meters in the South Bay. They're on flyers in Midtown being passed around. Scan here, win a prize. Bogus phishing emails. Scan the QR code, find out where your missing package is.
The QR code can do different things on your phone that you probably don't want it to do.
Lou Raban owns Cyber Defense Group in Pasadena. Scammers are doing things like sending you to malicious websites that can download malware onto your phone. They can also make it look like you're paying for something legit when really they're just stealing your credit card information.
There are QR scanner apps, QR code scanner apps that you can use that both Android and Apple have in their stores and others. So I would recommend using that. So when you're using this, the QR code scanner will show you the site that it's going to or what it's trying to do.
I checked. Many of those apps are free.
She's back safely in the U.S., the Hawaiian woman who went missing from LAX and then was located in Mexico. Her family says Hannah Kobayashi returned over the weekend walking across the border yesterday. The LAPD Missing Persons Unit confirms she had vanished after traveling from Hawaii to L.A., where she missed a connecting flight in November and prompted a huge search before the LAPD announced that she had been found in Mexico and that she was there by her own choice. Kobayashi's father, Ryan, died last month at a parking garage near LAX after traveling from Hawaii to look for his daughter. The medical examiner determined the cause of death to be suicide. The fight over the future of Los Padrinos Juvenile Hall now involves phrases like local emergency and extreme peril. LA County supervisors expected to proclaim a local state of emergency over the facility in Downey. That's going to trigger local funding to hire disaster service workers and mutual aid. Catherine Barger and Hilda Solis say if Los Padrinos is closed, there would be nowhere for the inmates to go except back into the community. And some of them have a history of violent crimes. The facility faced a closure after the state said it doesn't have enough staffing. The board is expected to take up the issue tomorrow morning. Much more on the ex-wife of a doctor killed back in August, getting charged with murder. That is coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text Lemon to 40333 for a free case review. Back now to the latest mass shooting at a school. This time, two students and a teacher killed at the Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin. Two other students in critical with a critical condition with life-threatening injuries. And we are learning that the shooter was a 17-year-old female student who turned the gun on herself. It is very unusual for mass shooters to be female. For more, we're joined by Adam Langford of the University of Alabama, who studied mass shootings. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So, yes, this is odd, a female mass shooter. Now, we talked with some other experts earlier that we're watching for these warning signs, right? And after so many mass shootings at schools, we should have learned more about what to notice beforehand, what red flags are, what a student posts online, what they begin talking about and looking into. But now here's another twist. We've also got to watch out not just for male students, which most of the school shooters are. We've got to watch out for a female mass shooter. What makes a female mass shooter different? And are there the same or are there different warning signs?
Well, you know, fortunately, women mass shooters have been so rare that we don't even really have a strong predictive profile for them yet. You know, until really we get more data, which hopefully will take a long time, I think it's safe to assume that the profile will be pretty similar. One of the differences may be indicated by what we see with homicide in general. With homicide in general, when women kill, they often target people who are close to them or who they have some personal connection to, not strangers. And so it makes me wonder whether in this case there was some kind of profound interpersonal conflict or grudge rather than a mass shooter who is simply targeting victims as a number, as a way to get attention by getting a large body count, which is more commonly seen with male mass shooters.
Let's talk about male mass shooters being more common than female mass shooters. Why is that? Is it because men are more angry than women and react with violence?
Well, I wouldn't say it's the anger per se. So I think there is some recent evidence which suggests that women may be overall just as aggressive as men, but that aggression and anger takes different forms, affects different types of victims. So we see with men in general, they commit about 90% of homicides in the United States. They die in about 80% of suicides. And mass shootings involve both a homicidal element and a suicidal element, as we saw in this case. But then there are other things like preferences for weapons. So, you know, the gender gap between men and women is much larger with firearms, which of course are required with mass shootings. And that gap's actually smaller with things like arson and poison. So, you know, if we looked at other types of violence, we might see less of a difference, but mass shootings have a lot of characteristics that just really appeal to men.
Hey, I want to go back to something you kind of mentioned a couple of minutes ago, talking about a female shooter will target someone close to them, someone who has maybe done something wrong to them. Do you think that might be the case here, that it's hard to, we don't know why the shooter did that, but in a case like this, would it be something to look at, did the people she targeted hurt her in some way?
I think that's almost certainly the perception. You know, so that may be a distorted perception on the shooter's behalf, but absolutely, I think it's quite likely that there's some sort of grudge or sense that the shooter often in these cases feels like they're the victim and therefore justify violence by saying, you hurt me, I'm gonna get you worse. I think it's very likely that it's a grudge with the students who were shot or the teacher, and this is really framed as a form of revenge.
Adam Langford, University of Alabama, studied mass shootings. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
The ex-wife of a Woodland Hills doctor is accused of hiring a hitman to kill him. That's coming up on Nonstop News at 5. Back now to one of the first major acts by the new L.A. County D.A., Nathan Hochman. He announced a murder charge against the ex-wife of a Woodland Hills doctor killed back in the summer.
She has been charged with effectively hiring a hitman, a gentleman named Evan Hardman, who's been previously charged with murder and assault with a deadly weapon. As the accusations go, back on August 23rd, Mr. Hardman, having been hired by Ahang Mirshojai, goes ahead to a parking lot in Woodland Hills, the parking lot at which Dr. Hamid Mirshojai had his medical practice, alleged by Ashley Sweeting, someone else who has been charged and at this point also arraigned and has pled not guilty. She brought Mr. Hardman to that parking lot. He at that point goes ahead and engages in the act of murder, as the charges have so alleged, of Dr. Hamid Mirshojai. He then leaves with Ms. Sweeting. At that point, another co-defendant who has been charged with the crime of murder, and as well as carried out for financial gain and assault with a deadly weapon, Sarah Lal Jawed, is met by Mr. Hardman. Mr. Jawed then takes Mr. Hardman to the state of Texas, where Mr. Hardman is eventually arrested. We have in this case a situation where the LAPD Valley Bureau of Homicide has engaged in an incredibly fast, quick and effective analysis and investigation leading to the charges that we have announced before and today. I applaud their efforts very much, because we are dealing with a situation that shows that in some ways, as we have said in the press release earlier, that the horror and the betrayal of this crime is beyond words. And it is with a heavy heart that we have to announce these charges against the ex-wife of Dr. Hamid Mirshojai, Ahang Mirshojai, in addition to the other co-defendants. The depth of this deceit and violence involved in this case is chilling, and we will not rest until justice is served.
We also heard from L.A. Police Chief Jim McDonald.
While the motive appears to involve murder for hire, I want to stress that this is still very much an ongoing investigation. Anyone with information about the incident is asked to contact Operation Valley Bureau Homicide. I'd like to speak to the family, friends, and loved ones who have needlessly suffered as a result of Dr. Mirshojai's untimely death. I know that your lives have been changed forever. And I know that while our investigation has led to arrests, nothing can ever bring back the person you lost. But I hope that today's announcement brings some measure of comfort in knowing that those responsible will be held accountable for their actions. Our hearts are with you during this incredibly difficult time.
Not clear yet if the DA's office plans to seek the death penalty in any of these charges. 520, and look at the markets. The Dow closed down today, 111. The S&P closed up 23, and NASDAQ up 247.
This is a Bloomberg Business of Entertainment report. Well, you might think being a celebrity would give you an advantage when starting your own business, but that's not always the case, at least according to Sam Ewan, star of Outlander and founder of Sassenach Spirits.
Celebrity brands have got a bit of a dirty word, I think, in the alcohol business, but, you know, we actually went out of our way to be taken out of that branding, that category. I'm a huge fan of whiskey and of Scottish whiskey especially. So yeah, we do everything we can to appeal to, you know, connoisseurs.
And Ewan looks at running a business as another creative outlet.
I think as an actor sometimes, you know, you need these other ways to inspire you. And I never thought I would be a businessman, but actually being a businessman is extremely creative. So yeah, it's just another facet, another part of the skill set that I guess I'm developing.
Ewan founded the parent company of Sassenach with entrepreneur Alexander Naruzzi in 2018. They launched their first single malt whiskey 2 years later. Karen Moscow, Bloomberg Radio.
That's your non-stop news at 5, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.